for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday evening, July the 7th, 1993. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is one of Toots, Brother Jack Harris from Beckville, Texas.
He's the Lord. I'm very proud of this man. Maybe I shouldn't say it that way, but I'm honored. He won't tell you, but I'll tell you, that Jack Harris is the most decorated soldier of World War II. There's no other soldier that we know of that has the decorations that Jack Harris. He has more than Audie Murphy or any other soldier. He's the most decorated man of World War II. And it's an honor and a privilege to have a man of his stature and the understanding of the word that God has given him to come and to grace our this place and to teach us what God has shown him in the Word.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Glenn. It always makes me feel very humble. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. And I know that we need to feel that way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a great time we're having here at the camp. I was just looking at those. Brother Glenn had made mention of the prayer clause. Now, I forget what year it was. General, then President, Dwight Eisenhower had his heart attack, about 54 somewhere along there. And I sent him a prayer cloth and gave him instructions what to do with it, you know. And some of the preachers, they laughed about it, you know. And they, what do you think I done with that prayer cloth, Brother Jack? And I said, I'll tell you what he done with it. He's got it pinned to his underwear over his heart. Well, I got a letter from him, and he thanked me. It was, got it in my file now. He said, Dear Reverend, I wasn't R-E-V. He spelled it out. And Dear Reverend Harris, and then he said how grateful he was that I was that concerned about him, and that he assured me that he was following my instructions on the prayer cloth, and he also was a believer in the Most High. So in essence, that's what he said. And
you see, he has a sad wife because
yeah.
Jack served under him, and he pinned some medals on Jack.
Yeah, he pinned a couple of medals on me, I believe, and General Omar Bradley pinned more on me. And I was decorated by several generals, and some of them they just mailed them to me, Sears and Roebuck style. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. A lot of water has gone under the bridge. Praise the Lord. But I am a patriot. I believe it was the last patriotic war fought, and probably will be the last. When everybody was involved some way, if you was alive during that war, you were involved in some way or another, and everybody cared, and it made us feel good. Praise the Lord. Well, thank the Lord. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Hey, it's vain for you to rise up early and to set up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for thus he giveth his beloved rest. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is thy reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of thy youth. Blessed is a man that hath his quiver full of them. He shall not be ashamed, for they shall speak with his enemy in the gate. I was quoting from there and had a young fellow in the church. He had three small children, you know, it's about a year apart or so. He said, well, after the service, he met me and said, Brother Jack, you reckon I've got my quiver full? And I said, well, I really don't know how many a quiver full is, but you got a good start on it. Anyway, praise the Lord. God's good. Praise the Lord. What? I really don't know. That's probably right. Quiver to hold arrows in it. Yeah, I know it would be more than three, but again, that'd be a good start on it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hear, O house of the Lord, and know that the Lord speaks to you seriously this night. Yea, I'm calling you to a dedication that you in your own strength cannot walk out, saith the Lord. Therefore, you will have to find strength from another source. And I'm telling you where that source is, saith the Lord. And I'm inviting you to lean heavily on me. Yea, and my strength shall be your strength, and you shall not fail. For the Lord of glory has ordained you to great things. Yea, you are the people upon whom the ends of the age has come. Therefore, you will be called upon to execute more responsibility than any people that has gone before you. I tell you, in my kingdom, from now until then, there will be no vacancies, and there will be no idleness, for everyone shall be placed by divine order, and everyone shall know when to go in and come out. Yea, and thou shalt do whatever you find to do with all of your might. Yea, and thou shalt be blessed of the Lord. I tell you, my children, it is too late in the season of time to be negligent. Yea, it is too late to be unconcerned. It is too late to play church, yea, and to fake religion. I tell you now that you need a relationship with your God. Yea, you need to huddle up close to the bosom of the Lord so that the blessings of the Almighty can enshroud thee, saith the Lord. Yea, in times past, slackness has gone almost unnoticed, but in this hour, yea, it will be noticed, saith the Lord. For know that even now the scribes in the heavenlies are busy writing, keeping up with the chronicles. Every move is being recorded. Every word is being recorded. Every deed and every wish and every will. Yea, I am recording it in the chronicles of heaven, saith the Lord. Yea, therefore, I know that an all-seeing eye watcheth over thee. Yea, I am not watching over thee to catch you stumbling, but I am watching over thee to see your progress, saith the Lord. Yea, for progress thy will, for the Lord of glory shall give you strength. He shall give you knowledge. He shall give you wisdom. Yea, and thou shalt not be as a little one that knoweth not how to go in and come out. Yea, but thou shalt surely know, for the Lord shall direct thee by his Spirit, saith the Lord. Yea, by my Spirit and by my ministry, the fivefold ministry that I have set in the church to bring the saints to perfection, saith the Lord. Yea, do not draw back, for those that draw back know that your God hath no pleasure in them. Yea, and I would that you would be a people that I can take great pleasure in, saith the Lord. And many of you will be that kind of people, the Lord would say. For I have destined in my plan that all all the nations of the world shall become the nations, yea, the domain of your Lord and of his Christ, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall not cease to improve your status. I shall not cease to pour out my love and multiply it as I pour it out until that blessed day when you suddenly realize, hey, I am in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And look as hard as you will in that day, and you'll see no unrighteousness. You'll see no sin. You'll see no broken hearts. But you'll just see the goodness of the life of God in the midst of you all, saith the Lord. Yea, and his life shall be your life, and his strength shall be your strength. And thou shalt go in and come out with great success in the promotion of the kingdom of God. That I have not. It's too late now for me to call people to come to a religious attitude, but I'm calling you into my blessed kingdom, saith the Lord. I shall expect you to walk as kingdom people in the kingdom promises, for soon that day will dawn when the dispensation of the kingdom age will be upon you, and by necessity it must be that I will have an army to march into that kingdom when that blessed day arrives, and it is not far off, saith the Lord. Therefore be diligent, my people. Yea, for enlargement cometh to thee even now. Deep calls unto deep. The depth from the voice of the throne calls unto the depth of your spirit, and you feel the Spirit dealing with you. Yea, I know that this is an indication that God has lofty things for you. Yea, he has called you unto a lofty calling. Yea, because you are a great people, because you are the people of the Most High God. Therefore you shall do my bidding, saith the Lord. Yea, and I shall bless you with a super blessing, and there shall be no need among you. Yea, until that blessed day that you come into the place that I will issue out immunity to the blessed sons of God. And in that day, nothing shall by any means hurt my children, saith the Lord. Yea, ye shall go over, under, or through, but you shall be victorious, saith the Lord. Yea, ye shall not fail, for the Lord of the host of spiritual Israel is leading the warfare. Yea, and he shall surely bring thee to victory, saith the Lord. It is I that can bring you to Zion, saith God. Yea, it is I that can meet all of your needs. Oh, whether they be spiritual, social, or whatever the nature may be, the Lord your God knoweth about these things. Yea, and it is his good pleasure to give you little flock the kingdom of God. Ah, that you may eat of that manna that cometh down from heaven. Yea, if you eat of that manna that cometh down from heaven, you will never die, saith the Lord. But you shall live in my presence. Yea, from now till then, saith the Lord. For the Lord hath spoken. Yea, the Lord hath spoken, the Lord speaks, and who is he that can gainsay what the Lord has said? If God be for us, who is he that can be against us? For if he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities are not things present nor things to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouths filled with laughter, and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, wonderful, wonderful Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your wonderful... Let's give him a praise offering. Hallelujah. God, we praise you out from the depth of our hearts. Oh, praise the lovely Lord. Thank you, great God. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. Praise the Lord. I take this moment to say that I certainly have enjoyed the beautiful ministry that has come forth for these 3 days I've been here, and it's just been beautiful. Oh, we have had a visitation of angels. I seen the angel of the Lord last night as we prayed, and everything was going so fast and I was going to make mention of it and acknowledge it, but it moved fast, and the prophecy came forth, and then it was too late, and I didn't. But when we prayed for Glenn and Irma and Linda, as they stood here, they were standing here. And as we prayed for them, and then I backed up, for some came in to give the prophecies, I backed up on the, this stuff wasn't here, so I just backed up on here, and see, that puts me up pretty high. And I was looking down on them, and the angel of the Lord came and hovered over them. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, don't let this blow you away. I've been seeing the angel of the Lord for 35 years. But I don't see him all the time. But I see him when... I only see him when he wants me to see him. But I have the profoundest feeling that sometimes he's here and he don't want me to see him. And then I have the profoundest... a feeling that there are many more angels here. And I just can't see them. Don't you know that angels are ministering spirits to those that are heirs to God? There might be, I don't know how many. This one that I see is fairly big. He couldn't dance on the point of a needle. Hallelujah. I see the same one. He never speaks to me, but we communicate. Huh. I have seen him and tried to show him to different ones. But I have had testimonies that as I minister, a lot of times I minister as he moves in the congregation. If he hovers over somebody and gets my attention, he'll move on, but I'll go minister to him. I've had testimonies where they knew that something
they felt the presence of something really unusual. Well, you don't have to think it's a strange thing that I might see angels and you don't see them. After all, our width of communication is very, very narrow. We can only communicate with very few things, can't we? You can take a radio and set it right here and put it on FM, set another one right here and put it on AM, and that one, turn this one on, and it'll start playing a beautiful song. You try to get it on that other one, you can't get it. But what you can get on that one, you can't get on here. They're on different frequencies. So all the Lord has to do to show us anything he wants to is just change our frequency. I don't think he changes his. He just changes ours. Same thing happens on television. This was hearing on radio, but television, what about that? You see it. It depends on the frequency, doesn't it? And so we can't relate to a lot of things that's going on. As a matter of fact, we can only relate to a very small one, 360-degree circle. We can only relate to, say, 36 degrees. That's about a tenth of the circle. And the scientists tell us that we only use, and I believe Brother Chuck mentioned this last evening or whenever it was, that we only use less than a tenth of our actual brain power. But the time comes in this restoration that we'll use it all. But when we get to Zion, we'll have all of it. Hallelujah. In the restoration, we will be restored. Now, this is not just, but I wouldn't take a scientist's word for this, and don't at all want scientists to have to confirm the Word of God for us to believe it. But I know that there are Christians that are so carnal that they wouldn't believe it because God said it, but they'd believe it if the scientist said it. Yeah, you want me to give you a scripture just in passing here, and then we'll and move on. In Daniel chapter 1, and let me get over here. Chapter 1 and verse 20. Let me tell you a little bit about this story here. Let me see here. The story here is that Daniel and his buddies are a prisoner's war. They're in captivity, and they have been promoted pretty high in the country that they are being held in, and they have, because they have good intellect, and but there's a lot of men in the kingdom has as much intellect as they do, and but they are Hebrews, so They approach the captain of the guard and tell him, "Hey, we don't want to eat no meat because that's offered at to idols, and we won't eat any meat. We just want vegetables." And so the captain of the guard, he liked Daniel and said, "Well, hey, Dan, you kind of putting me on the spot here. If I don't give you no meat, and you will be tallow looking, and you will get weak, and it'll be obvious that malnutrition is set in on you." And so Daniel said, "Well, hey, try us for a spell. And if it starts that way, well, I'll release you from from this covenant. But if you'll just try a spell." So he relented and he tried him a spell. And that brings us to the time that they was going to be examined by the hierarchy. And that brings us to verse 20. "And when the hierarchy examined them in the 20th verse, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them," you say it, ten times. They got their restoration. By Adam had lost ten times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. These guys are supposed to be just as sharp as them, every bit of just as sharp. Now, Adam lost 90% of it. But I say again, when we get to Zion, we will have recovered that lost 90%, and we'll be functioning on a full brain. Hallelujah. Yeah. And here, they are forerunners, and they walked in, and they actually done it. Here, you see it? Would you believe that? They actually had a restoration, and they come up 10 times. It doesn't say so, but I'll guarantee you it's 10 times more than they knew a few weeks ago. Because they have got their restoration. You see, when we get to Zion, we got to be a lot different than we are now. This will be a little ahead of my thoughts, but I'll just tell you anyhow, because I like to preach them backwards. Hallelujah. But you know, when we get to Zion, why we got to be so much improved over what we are now? Because when we get to Zion, we'll see eye to eye. When you come to Zion, you will see eye to eye. That is, you will agree on everything. You will see it just alike. There won't be but one way as far as the Zion people are concerned, and that's the way of God. And when you get to Zion, you will have the responsibility of judging. Hey, we're going to judge angels. Hey, there's some in jail now, being held without bond, waiting for us. Jude, what is it, Jude 4? The angels that left their first estate are being held under chains until the day of the Lord. Well, what they're waiting for, because it pleased God it pleased God that judgment would come through man. God must do everything through his man. And it pleased God that that's the way he would judge them. And then hear Paul say to the Corinthians, hey, don't you know? Say, what do y'all mean going to court over these trifling little old things here? So, well, the youngest elder here can judge between these little matters. Say, don't you know you're going to judge angels? Now, you remember Paul says that? Amen. All right, now, if I show you a statement that the apostle says you're going to judge angels, and then I show you some angels that's waiting to be judged, hey, we're going to begin to kindly do a little calculating here and figure who's going to judge who, aren't we? Hallelujah. Well, so we're going, all right, why don't we judge them now? Because we hadn't got righteous judgment now. We've got prejudice judgment now. Hallelujah. We've got judgment that's marred by greed and ego and, help me here, something else that mars it. Hallelujah. Amen. But in that day, hallelujah, amen, we won't judge by the hearing of the ear or by the seeing of the eye. Well, hey, that just about takes care of it, don't it? How are we going to judge then? He tells us, but in judgment, in righteousness shall you judge. Nobody from that day until now, from the time the angels left the first estate, nobody has come to the fullness of the place to judge in righteous judgment. Nobody has come to a fullness. Say, you remember when the Lord sent out the 70 in St. Luke, 10th chapter of St. Luke, he sends out the 70, and they come back rejoicing. He sent them with no scrip, no shoes, and only the pair of shoes that they had on. And he sent them as lambs among wolves. Hey, they were on the short end of the stick all the way. They had one thing going for them. They were sent of him. Amen. And they came back rejoicing, saying, even the demon spirits were subject to us. And Jesus rejoiced too. And he said, well, hey, I seen Satan fall from heaven as lightning. That's about the 19th verse of the 10th chapter. Maybe the 17th verse. I'm right in the neighborhood here. And he seen Satan fall from heaven as lightning. Now, this was before Jesus was foretelling. He didn't actually fall right then, but Jesus looked out through the scope of time and seen him fall. But what caused him to fall was when these disciples went out with a perfect ministry, that nothing could withstand them. And then, see, what Jesus did there, he showed us a perfect ministry and what it would do, and then he turns around to his 12 originals. These were 70 besides the 12 originals. He turns around to his originals and says, now, you see what can happen? Did you see that? They said, we witnessed it. He said, all right, you start here and walk it out. And when you walk into it, well, it'll cast the devil out of the heavenlies. Say, you know, well, of course, just one man walking into it, but when that 144,000 walks into it, the devil's going to be kicked out. Hey, you remember when he met with Job? In the book of Job, and the sons of God was meeting with God, and Satan come too? You remember that in the first chapter? And Satan challenges God. He says, God challenges Satan about Job. He said, hey, have you considered Job, my servant, who's perfect and upright? And Satan said, hey, as a matter of fact, I've been giving him some consideration. And this I have decided, that he ain't serving you for naught. You got a hedge built around him. And that explains why that he seems dedicated. He said, if you'd let me through the hedge, I'll make him curse you to your face. So God said, well, all right, I'll let you through the hedge, only you can't take his life. So he afflicted him with boils, and he treated him awful. And then there was another meeting. And he said, God said, well, what about Job? He said, well, I touched him with these afflictions, but that ain't nothing. all a man has, he'll give for his life. If you'd just let me, well, hallelujah. And God let him, didn't he? You know what the devil can't believe? What? He just can't believe that I walk with God because I love him, love the Lord. And he can't believe that I don't have any ulterior motives. Hey, he believes I'm up to something. Yeah, he does. He don't believe this is just pure dedication. He believes I'm up to something. I'm trying to take advantage of somebody, he believes, or he believes that I'm really up to something. He doesn't believe that I'll do this just for the sheer love of God. Hallelujah. And that's where he's wrong. And he was wrong about Job. He couldn't believe that Job, just for love, hallelujah, just in dedication to his maker, could walk like that. Job sat that day in sackcloth and ashes. Everything had fallen through for him. All his children were gone. His vast wealth was gone. Putrefied sores all over his body. His wife had challenged him, hey, why don't you curse God and die? And he said, you talk like one of them foolish women. Well, heathen. He said, God giveth and God taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you think that I would take all good things from God and just be happy, and then when something come that rubbed me wrong, I would reject it? So he set that day in sackcloth and ashes, picked up broken pieces of pottery, and scratched his putrefied sores. Hallelujah. And he cried out, oh, that there were a daysman Hallelujah. Oh, that there was a daysman. What's a daysman? He said a daysman is one, or would be one. If there was one, he'd be one that could touch God and touch me at the same time. Oh, he'd be one that could take me and God and draw us together. You know who he was talking about? He was talking about the blessed Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I think if ever God wanted to rush his timetable, it was when Job cried out for a daysman.
Yes.
But it was too late. God had already set his king in his holy hill of Zion. In the fullness of time, God would send forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might condemn sin under the law. Hallelujah. When would he do that? When his great friend, the great man that he testified so lofty about, when he cries for a daysman, he'll send him. No, he can't do it. He has to wait until the fullness of time. There's too many things back there that has to be worked out yet. Hallelujah. If he was to rush it now, he'd spoil the whole plan. Oh, glory. Hey, this thing is precision. Hallelujah. God's plan. Hallelujah. I better take me a text. You'll say I didn't preach. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank the Lord forever. We'll see eye to eye. When? When we get to Zion. But let me tell you about getting to Zion. Ain't nobody going to get lost and just wind up at Zion. If you meet anybody on Zion and ask them how you got here, he's not going to say, "I don't know. I just coming through and seen the road fork and took this fork and here I am, went to dinner." Yeah. It ain't going to be like that. Anybody that comes to Zion can tell you how they got there. They all got there the same way, by loving God with all their heart, mind, and soul, unto obedience. Oh, the soldiers that I'm talking about, they've just been recruited. They're in the making, and that's what I want to preach on. Well, let me take a text here, or at least... Well, maybe we'll. All right, I'm going to title this message The Principles of Divine Election and Promotion. The Principle of Divine... Well, drop the principle and just say Divine Election and Promotion. And you will know what you're talking about. Divine Protection or Divine Election and Promotion. Now I'm going to have to. I'm going to offer you some scriptures here, and let me offer you this one in Romans chapter 11 and verse 29. It's a familiar passage. Hey, all of this stuff is so familiar. How come the church don't know about it? Hallelujah! You know the church don't know nothing about this. The church as a whole. If you have an inside revelation of this, you are a privileged person. Now, oh, Father, just now, I pray that you'd open the spirit of revelation that we might see the intent of God. Hallelujah. And I pray, O Lord, that you'll let me say nothing that will not be profitable to us in our pursuit of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, happy. Happy will be the man that opens his heart to revelation here. All right, in 11 and 29, you already over there, aren't you? Let's see. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. All right. We're talking about now divine placement. Well, we called it election. Divine election and promotion. All right. Now, but let's notice something about this. The problem with the old school that I come up through, they never noticed nothing about it. They just read the whole thing and said, "Hallelujah! Glory!" And never got to, you know, never inquired of the Scriptures. All right. Now, first thing to notice here for the gifts, and this is in plural. I'm in the King James Version. Say, I haven't got anything against all those other versions. I probably got them in my library in my office. There might be one in the auditorium that I don't have, but I have most of them. And I refer to them often. But the Lord gave me the Scriptures by unction. You know what I mean? All right. If you're a prophet, or if you even move in the gift of prophecy, when I quote the Scriptures, you'll want to prophesy. You know why you want to prophesy? Because you feel the spirit of prophecy that is so profound. I quote the Scriptures by the same spirit that I prophesy by. And the same source I'm getting the unction from. And the amazing point that I'm making is that I quoted Scripture one time. I just kindly laid on the altar and got to pray and went into a quotation of Scriptures. And some of the folks came in and found me and said, "Let's tape him." So they taped me, and for an hour and a half tapes, they taped me three of them. That's 4.5 hours. And I had already been, I don't know how long I'd been doing it before they got there. And I don't know how long I'd done it after they didn't have no more tape. But the amazing thing about it was that when I quoted them, I quoted the King James verbatim. Hallelujah. So don't ask me what my favorite translation is. Hallelujah. I thought that was an amazing thing, because I was, well, I might have been more familiar with it, but I wasn't that familiar with it. Nobody is that familiar with it. So we had an intellect young guy in my church here a few years back, and he was amazed at, you know, the way I did the Scriptures, quoted them. He said, "But Jack, I'm going to learn to do that." And I said, "Good, that'll be a good project for you. You learn, let me know how you're progressing here." So he, I said, "Where are you going to start?" So I said, "I think I'll start in Psalms." I said, "That's a good place to start. And let me know." So it went about a month, and he said, "Well, Brother Jackson, I can quote, I forget how much, he could quote 3 or 4 chapters." And he was a brilliant student in college. So I said, "Well, just keep after it, and, you know, it'll come." And he tried it for about 3 months, and he stopped me one night as I was going outdoors. "Hey, Brother Jack," said, "you know that Scripture quotation I was going to do?" And I said, "Yeah, how you coming along?" "Oh," he said, I couldn't do it." Said, "Hey," said, "you're doing that some other way, ain't you?" Hey, what he was saying is, this translation of that, he said, "I know I'm smarter than you are. Now, now tell me how you're doing that." Praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord has led me most beautiful. Somebody asked me what seminar I went to, and I said, "I never went to a seminar. We just, in my day, for myself, I just started preaching. And I've been doing it ever since." Hallelujah. Kindly accidentally started. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I was, I'll tell you a little bit of how I started. I knew this preacher that was a good friend of mine, and he had a good preacher friend just over the Louisiana line from Texas, and he and I were having lunch with his preacher friend. I didn't know his preacher friend. He didn't know me. And I'd been, you know, I had never preached, never wanted to preach, but people would tell me, but they told all of us old schoolers that you ought to be preaching. I think they thought everybody ought to be preaching. And everybody that had a calling, they They didn't know but one calling. They didn't know about none of these things I'm going to tell you about placing in a body. And just so if they failed to call, the only call they knew was preach, so they thought they had to preach. Saying, I tell you, most of them tried it, but it didn't take God long to show whom he had set his stamp of approval on.
Amen.
They fell out like flies. I remember when I was ordained, I think it was about 29 of us. I don't know but one more of them that followed the ministry more than 3 or 4 years. It's not something that you can... Hallelujah. Well, the way I started, I was going to tell you about that. This preacher was a good friend of mine. He had told me that, you know, he felt like I had a call in the ministry. And so we was in there eating dinner with this preacher, and we had eaten dinner and was about to leave. And this preacher says to me as he gets up to leave, he says, hey, Brother Harris, are you a minister? And before I could tell him no, my friend says yes. So he said, well, hey, said, I've got a church over here just over the line. Told him where it was. Said, I'd like for you to come over and preach for me a Friday night. And I said, well, I'll be glad to do that. I'll see you Friday night. What time you start, Hoss? It's 7:30. I'll see you 7:30 then. Thank you. And he went on. And you know, that was about Tuesday. Friday's a long ways off from Tuesday. But comes Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday's getting closer, and closer it gets, the more jittery I get. And so Friday comes, and I drove over there. It was about 50 miles from where I live.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.